Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, my beautiful listeners. This is Jude Albright. I thank you for joining me for Love Your Addiction, and I extend to you the happiest of New Year's. I am sure that you're aware that everything on this planet has a life, is energetic, has a vibration, and that's true about addictions also, because they have a life of their own. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see, hear, and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. I welcome you here today to see love in a very different light. I'm here to show you ways to recover from the belief that there's something wrong with you, that addiction has been bad. I'm also wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness? Well, what about your rightness? When you love something, like an addiction, and you appreciate it, you bring gratitude into your life. And when you're grateful, you become more loving. When you accept addictions and give them love, you are better able to see what they've been trying to show you about you. With loving comes acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. Now, today, on this second day of the new year, we are going to be looking at the question, are you finally tired of making resolutions only to break them come February? Have you ever wondered why we put ourselves through such nonsense? What if there was another more empowering way to start the new year? Find out how intentions are so much more powerful than resolutions. With intentions, we allow. With resolutions, we attempt to force. Join me in the chat room, which you can access at the bottom of your listening page, or call in at 516-453-9181 with your insights. We're all in this together. And I'm sure each of you desires peace and joy and love and abundance in your life. So let's get each other there. Let's get rid of our control issues, the depressions, the hatreds, angers, despair, and lack, all of which, by the way, contribute to addictions. I'm not out to try to change anyone. Only you can change you. I am simply a messenger of truths for you, which bring you new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. Before we actually start talking about the differences between resolutions and intentions, I notice that we have a caller. And so I am going to open up the line to the caller on with the beginning 818. And you are live, 818. How are you?
Oh, my. Happy Sunday to you, second day of the new year.
Oh, I'm feeling... thank you. Did
my
you have
vibrations
a comment?
Are... Well, my vibrations are very high, but you were saying that to embrace your addictions.
Uh-huh.
I have so many of them. Anything can be addiction with me. Can you share with me what you mean by that? Because even my vibrations can be too much for someone.
Well, too bad for them if they have a problem with your wonderful vibration. You are who you are, and your vibration blasts to the world what a wonderful being you are. And if you're using addictions to lower your vibration, I'm
No, I don't think it is. If I like something, I call it like a OCD, and that's how I manifest. If I want something, but sometimes I'm not satisfied. If I taste one little taste of like ice cream, I want more than that. So I can be addicted to anything that I love so much. I want more of it. So in that form, I call it addiction. I don't know what you mean by that. It could be love. It could be hugs. It could be kisses. It's just one little taste of it. I want more. So.
Okay. We have been trained to believe that the word addiction implies there's something wrong with us. And if you want more ice cream, girl, go for it. That's wonderful. If you want more of anything, that does not necessarily imply an addiction. When I talk of the word addiction, I am referring to something that we absolutely feel that we need to have. Now, in terms of ice cream, if you just want more because you like it, that's just a like. An addiction would be having to have it, or it would upset you, because we use addictions to stop who we really are, to block out the energy of who we are. And what you've just said does not sound like you're blocking out your greatness.
Okay. I guess I misunderstood. That's why I'm glad I'm clarifying it with you. Because even when you said you crave it, well, if you're with somebody who can't give you what you want, like affection, you can kind of get an addiction to it. I mean, anything. It could be, and not only of hugs, but if you're denied something that you truly want by someone else, like a child wants something, it could become an addiction of sweets. Yes? If you're denied something?
I totally agree with you, and I love the way you said like a child, because most addictions stem from feelings that we've had as kids, that we've changed into thoughts, that we've changed into beliefs that scare us. And therefore, we want to stop those feelings, and addictions work. They stop true feelings. They give us a false sense.
Really? That makes total sense. May I share this with you then?
Please.
Okay. My ex, I'm going to say this word, and please don't be offended, everybody, but I'm sure people have heard of it. First of all, people all have heard of a narcissist, which means they're selfish individuals and they don't know how to give of themselves and their takers. There's the extreme form of it, which is a sociopath. And unfortunately, my ex was one of these. And because of it, my children and I became a certain way. And from it, it landed into, I don't know if you call it addictions, but he did have to take, the doctors didn't understand it, and they gave him medication for what he didn't have, which is what came from it is the thoughts in your mind made him throw up. So I guess people would call that addiction, you know? Yeah.
And what I would say to you or anybody who is living in a situation like that and looking for love or affection from somebody who's not able to give it, please look inside and see what there is in you energetically that attracts you to someone like that. Because therein you will find your answer.
Mine was naiveness and didn't understand my own gut feelings. And that's my difficulty, no awareness and no intuition from the different people that I had dealt with. And, yeah. And unfortunately, a poor little child born into this world had no choice. So.
Well, we all have
I'm sharing too much. I'm sorry.
No, you're really not. I appreciate what you're saying, because we never know who we're affecting and who we're listening and who is afraid to call in with the very same issues. And I'm going to repeat it. It goes back to childhood and the things that we learned, the roles that we played. And I invite you to listen to future shows where we will actually focus on something like that, or to go onto my website and maybe gain some insight. Because today, being the second day of the new year, I really would like to concentrate on the difference between a resolution and an intention, because there is so much confusion about that that impacts addiction.
Okay, I will. But what you just said, that word, what you just said, could you repeat it again? The roles that we play? Because someone said that to me once, and I never question anybody when they say something to me. I wasn't brought up that way. And he said it. And his role that he felt in his childhood was to be the happy child, to make everybody in the house happy. Well, my role, it was make my dad happy when he came home from work, be the happy child. But it wasn't hard for me to do. So I guess if that's what you mean, I understand what you're saying.
Yes, and there are, if you grew up in a family where there was some sort of addiction, there are four specific roles that children accept. I was the oldest in my family, and I was brought up to be somewhat like you were. I was the hero child, so I was the one that had to look good. I made the family look good. I got the good grades. But deep down inside, I felt miserable about myself. So when you said I wasn't brought up that way, you gave yourself a hint. How were you brought up? That probably is indicative of what your beliefs are today.
Oh, the same way I was when I was a child, happy. I didn't mind it. It's just that I didn't understand a lot. What my childhood was a bit different than other people, and I didn't know my dad had PTSD and a lot of things. I wasn't brought. He gave us. I love from both of them. He let me be just who I was meant to be. But they never taught me awareness. I never knew awareness or intuition. So therefore, I was naive when it came to that person I met. I didn't know my own feelings within my own body. And so that's part of my journey of, you know, who I am today. And, you know, I didn't mean to share so much like this, but it...
Sure, and if you go on beingrecovered.net and
mm-hmm.
email me with your email address, I will send you information about the four different roles. And hopefully that will help clarify things for you, okay?
Thank you. Okay, my son had to go to rehab, but that's another story. But I thank you. I'll listen to you and hear what you have to say. But I guess I kind of get what you're saying about, I've never heard of anyone saying it except for this guy, about the role you play in your family.
Oh, I believe that is the foundation. And we have so many wounded children running corporations, running governments right now, because they've never looked at the beliefs that they chose as children. So I am going to put you on mute right now. And,
thank you.
Oh, and thank you. Let's look at the difference between a New Year's resolution and an intention. And before I start, no question, no concern that any of you would ever have is something that would be less important or would not deserve time. So please feel free at any time, anyone, to pose your questions or your comments. Okay, a New Year's resolution, which a lot of people made yesterday and on New Year's Eve, is typically, it's a tradition. And it is most common here in the Western Hemisphere, but it's also found in the Eastern Hemisphere. And I took this from Wikipedia. A resolution resolves to change an undesired trait or behavior. So a resolution, therefore, represents a very staunch, firm decision to do or not do something, and it doesn't allow for flexibility. And without flexibility, we are stuck in that control mode where we are attempting to control things. So also with a resolution, typically there's a very clear starting date like January 1st, and it also kind of messes with your brain into thinking that maybe you're going to have an end date too. So resolutions are based on judgment. What's wrong with you? And as I said in the introduction, what about what's right with you? Stop focusing on what you think what's wrong with you, because there's nothing wrong with you. That there is something wrong with you is an idea that stems from many religions. And those are the religions that attempt to control and put power outside of you. Now, I also found on Wikipedia the 10 top resolutions that people make, listed in the order that they were given in polls that were taken. And the first one is to spend more time with family and friends. The second one is to get fit, to exercise. The third one, to go on a diet, to lose weight. The fourth one is to quit smoking. The fifth, to enjoy life more. The sixth, to quit drinking. That's alcohol. The seventh, to get out of debt. The eighth, to learn something new. The ninth, to help others. And the tenth, to get organized. Now, almost every single one of those resolutions implies that there is a problem right now that needs to be fixed or changed. New Year's resolutions, it was believed that the Babylonians were the first to make New Year's resolutions around 4,000 years ago. And the interesting thing is people all over the world have been breaking those resolutions ever since. And although the Babylonians didn't have a written calendar, it is believed that they were the first group of people to honor the new year. So you know how New Year's Eve is one night, and sometimes it can be stressful. Well, back then, the Babylonians had a 12-day religious festival. And see, here's that religious implication again. The people of Babylon crowned their new king, or they made it clear that they were loyal to the current king. And at this time, the citizens would make promises to their gods as a way to pay their debts. So they believed they had debts. And these promises are now what we call New Year's resolutions. It was also a very known fact among the peoples that if they kept their promises to their pagan gods, they would be given favors in the coming year. And here's the biggie. If they didn't keep their promises, then they would fall out of the gods' favors. Does that kind of smack of some religions today? If you don't do what my religion says, then you're going to go to hell, you're going to be punished, you're going to have mortal sin, whatever the situation is. Well, over time, the idea of making promises to God, to the gods, changed when Julius Caesar changed the beginning of the new year. The Babylonians celebrated the new year about the middle of March. It was the surrounding of the planting of their crops. And the idea of celebrating New Year's and having New Year's resolutions in January came about when Julius Caesar moved the beginning of the new year, and he did that in 46 BC. So the Romans had a two-faced god named Janus, who had two faces, one facing forward, one facing backward. And it was believed that the Janus that looked backward into the previous year, and then the Janus who looked forward looked ahead into the future. And the Romans offered sacrifices to this deity, and they made promises of good conduct for the good year, or I mean for the coming year. Again, we're talking about fear-based. There is nothing positive about the Babylonians or about the Greeks and the Romans. And then in the medieval era, the knights took what was called a peacock VCW at the end of the year, and they were reaffirming their commitment to chivalry. And early Christians believed the first day of the new year should be spent reflecting on past mistakes and resolving to improve oneself in the new year. So all of these groups were focusing on what's wrong with me that I can change. I need to go on a diet. I need to quit smoking. I need to get out of debt. I need to quit drinking. Well, no wonder we don't keep those resolutions. They're already set up for failure because they're all or nothing, and they're based on unrealistic expectations. They don't leave any wiggle room at all for us. Now, let's look at the difference. What is an intention? An intention is a determination to act in a certain way. It can be moment to moment. To have in mind a purpose, to direct the mind, to aim. Your intention is for the future, but your attention needs to be in the present. Meaning that you focus your attention on whatever you are intending for tomorrow, because only the present, which is nothing more than conscious awareness, is real and eternal. So people set all sorts of intentions on all kinds of things that they want and dreams. And when you set an intention and act on it to demonstrate your commitment, amazing things can occur. For example, before you get out of bed in the morning, you might intend to have a fun or a productive day. And guess what? It's going to happen because you are sending that energy out. You're not blaming yourself. You're not finding fault with yourself. You are simply sending out an intention. Another example would be before you leave your house, you can intend that you're going to have a wonderful quality time with your family or your partner, whoever you're going to see. And here's an easy one, and this one I use a lot. Before you start your car, you can intend to have a safe, easy ride to work or wherever you're going. Whenever I have to get on I-95, which is the major highway here in southern Florida that goes in both directions, I am aware that there are some real crazy drivers out there, very often 18-wheelers who like to ride your butt. And so before I start my car, I always intend that the 18-wheelers and any other crazy drivers stay away from me. And believe it or not, what actually happens is sometimes I can see a nutcase coming up behind me, and I will look in the mirror and I will send out that intention, and that car or that truck will either fall back, or it'll go around me and pass me, so I am not in any harm's way. Intentions work. And to make an intention work, you need to, there are really four steps. And the first one is to be very clear about something you want. And when you write it down, there seems to be something magical with the written word that just sends that energy out into the universe, and it occurs. The second step would be to share your intention with someone that you trust in a way that will supportively hold you accountable to taking that action. Now, some people say don't share your intention with anyone. Keep it to yourself. That's up to the individual to decide which action they want to take. The third step might be to do something today in the present moment to demonstrate your commitment to your intention. And the final step, acknowledge that you did what you said you'd do and then go to the next step. Because by setting your intention, you make it clear to yourself and others just what you plan to do. So setting an intention is to redefine what it is that you really want to draw into your life. And it works. It absolutely works. Now, I'm down to about 3 minutes before we end. So I'm going to ask you once more, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? I'm wondering, what can you now be to create your healthy, loving lifestyle? And you can find out more answers and reach me at beingrecovered.net, BEINGRECOVERED.net. My judealbright.com is still under construction and so is not available at this time. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and your love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful being that you are. Please be thankful for you and all you do for this planet, and set your positive intentions to have wonderfully, wonderfully grand experiences in your life, because you're the only one who can do it. I send to all of you much love and a blessed new year, whatever that means to you. Take care, and for now I say bye.